Welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Without any further ado, let's get to the last word, okay? As you know, this is the last Sunday of the year 2024, and it has been a very interesting year. Presented a lot of challenges to so many of us, and some of us have experienced, great and exciting adventures, and others, losses, very difficult losses, and our hearts go out to every family that's going through this season, in their first season that they have lost a family member. May God's grace and blessing be on you, and may your heart be warmed by Almighty God in this time, especially in the Christmas and New Year's time. What we say makes a difference. Our words influence us. What you say to yourself makes a difference. What you say to yourself while I am preaching today is going to make a difference. What you say will make a difference to you. What you say will make a difference and will influence others. And what you say will even make a difference to God. God is listening. That'll be a part of our lesson today out of Numbers 13. By the time we get to Numbers 13, it had been 650 years. Can you say 650? Well, let me hear it louder. It had been 650 years. Do you know anybody that's 650 years old? Whoa. Think about it. Wow. 650 years. It had been 650 years since God had told Abraham that he was going to give the land of Canaan to Abraham and to his children and his children's children. But 650 years, 400 of those years, the children of Abraham had spent in slavery in Egypt. And so sometimes whenever you're told that something is going to happen, it can seem like a long time before it happens. Can you imagine? It must have seemed like a long time to the children of Israel that God had made a promise. I'm going to give the land of Canaan, Abraham, to you and to your children and to your children's children. And then Abraham lived and died, and Isaac lived and died, and Jacob lived and died, and nine generations had come and gone during that 650 years, and they lived a long time back then. It could have seemed like the promise was never going to happen. But God didn't forget. And do you know that people, every generation, kept on repeating the same promise? God's going to give us the land, but yet they were in Egypt. And the next generation, God's going to give us our own land. He's going to give us the land of Canaan, but yet they would live and die. Was the promise of God not true? The promise of God was true. But everything has a time. To everything there is a season. When we get to Numbers chapter 13, the children of Israel had already come out of Egypt with Moses, and they had been in the wilderness about 2 years. They had received the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai. They had heard God speak from the cloud. There was a glory of God that followed them everywhere they went. A cloud during the daytime would lead them and show them where the trail was. And at nighttime, this pillar of fire protected them and warmed them and gave them light. They had the presence and the power and the glory of God with them everywhere they went. Oh, Numbers chapter 13, they come to the day whenever God wanted to fulfill his promise. It was time for them to enter into the promised land. God had decided after 650 years and after 2 years of wandering in the wilderness, after 400 years of being in slavery, here, this is the generation, this is the time, this is the moment when the promise of God is just the next step, just one step away. So they're right up against the promised land, and God is ready for them to go in. Verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Wow. You know, in the wilderness, they had never been alone. They had never been forsaken. They had never been left without leadership in their lives. As I said earlier, a cloud guided them in the daytime, and a pillar of fire protected them and warmed them at night. They always knew that God was with them, and they could not have mistaken that he was still with them today. Manna from heaven came every day to feed them, and water came out of a rock. I mean, they had God, they had miracles all around them. They were provided for, they were loved, they were encouraged, they had good leaders, and you know, everything was ready. Yet many of the people were angry with God. Interesting. How could you have everything that you need and be protected, and knowing that God has a promise that he's made and that he's not going to forget it, and yet be mad at God? The people were angry. Why were they angry? Well, they were angry mostly because they were afraid. Do you know, sometimes when people respond to you in anger, it presents like anger, but it's really fear. They're afraid something's not going to happen. They're afraid they're not going to get something. They're afraid they're going to lose something. They're afraid for their future, afraid for their family, afraid for their finances. And so it's hard to trust God whenever you're afraid. But when God continues to try to get you to trust him, you're afraid. You're afraid to surrender your life. You're afraid to give it all to God. You're afraid to try him, to test him. You know, you're afraid to take that next step. Sometimes when God is encouraging us and we are afraid, we get angry. And that's where the children of Israel were. They were mad. Children, have you ever gotten mad at a parent because they wanted you to clean your room? They wanted you to, you know, take your dirty clothes and put them in, and because they kept asking, you finally would get upset. Well, God kept asking them to trust him. He kept trying to get them. He did everything. I mean, he blessed them. He encouraged them. He gave them, you know, ways to live, and yet they were angry with God. The leaders of the day were mad at God. They were mad at Moses. They were mad at the leadership. And they were afraid for their families. But still, God had a plan for their life. But just because God had a plan did not mean that the plan would happen automatically. God had a plan for their life, but he needed their support. Do you know that God needs your help? God needs your help. God has a plan for your life, but yet God needs your help. He needed them to participate. He included all of them. He said, Moses, I want you to send out 12 spies. Do you know that God knew which ones were happy with him and which ones were not? But he included everybody. Why? Because God includes everybody in his plan. God always includes us in his plan. God includes us all in his plan. 2 years after leaving Egypt, God was ready for the children of Israel to enter the promised land, and all he needed was their support. He needed their trust. He needed them to have faith in him. He needed them to participate in the promise and to participate in their miracle. As I said, the only thing God needed was for the children of God, for his children, to believe his word. Today, that's often the only thing God needs. Today, many times, the only thing God needs is for his children to believe his word. How do you know if someone believes God's word? It's because they talk like they believe it. And they walk like they believe it. And that's what he needed from them. He needed them to talk like they believed his word. And he needed them to walk like they believed his word. God needed support. So he told Moses, choose 12 influential people. Choose influencers. And I want you to send them out like an investigative reporter. I want you to send them out to investigate the land and to come back and bring a report to the people, because I need their support. I need them to believe, and I need them to talk like they believe and walk like they believe. And so send them out to investigate. And here are their instructions. Look, Numbers 13, verse 18, here are the instructions that he gave these 12 men. See what the land is like. That's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or are they weak, are they few or are there many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, you know, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forced there or not. Be of good cheer. These are the instructions. He didn't forget. Be happy. Be of good cheer. Okay? And bring some of the fruit of the land back with you. So these 12 spies, they went out. They spent 40 days searching the land of Canaan, and they gathered some of the fruit. They got information on the land, whether the people were rich or poor, or whether it was a good land or a bad land. They went out and looked to see whether there were cities or were there just camps. And so they brought the fruit back. These 12 men, they all saw the same thing. They all had the same experiences. However, when they came back, they had two distinctly different reports. They had two dynamically opposed opinions. They had two conclusions. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. Look what all of the men, all 12 of them said. We went to the land where you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. They brought back fruit from the land. Look. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw descendants of Anak there. Anak was a giant. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Termites. No, they dwell in southeast Texas. And the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Now you see, there was no disagreement at all. All of these 12 men, they saw the same thing, they experienced the same thing, and they came back with the very same report. Every one of them is saying the same thing. It's a land that flows with milk and honey, and here's the fruit you can see for yourself, and they have cities, and they're strong people, and there are Amorites, and Amalekites, and Hittites, and Jebusites, and Canaanites, and here's where they live, and there was no disagreement. The land was fruitful, the people were strong, and the cities were large and fortified. As well, there were giants in the land. No disagreement. On all these things, they agreed. Then one of them interrupted in verse 30. Caleb, we're told later that he had an excellent spirit. He had a different spirit. What kind of spirit did he have? He had this spirit of trusting God. It was different. It was odd. But he trusted God so much. Well, you know, seeing what he had seen and experiencing what he experienced and hearing what he had heard growing up all of his life, waiting for the chance, waiting for the moment. All of his life he had heard the stories how God had promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he knew it had been 650 years, but that didn't bother him. He knew that God would do it in his time. And now, can you believe it? I'm standing right on the edge of taking the next step. I'm standing right on the edge of the promise of God. I mean, I'm the one that he's chosen for this moment. Can you believe it? Caleb interrupts. You know, they're saying, you know, the cities are large and strong and there are giants there. And Caleb said, he quieted the people. Then Caleb quieted the people in verse 30. He quieted the people before Moses, and he said, "Let's go. Let us go up at once and take possession. Let's go get what God promised. Let's go. It's going to take us going. It's going to take us walking. It's going to require that we take a step. It's going to require that we do something. Let us go up at once and possess the land." What did he say? "For we are well able to overcome it." Wow. Man. Sounds like an action movie hero, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh. Did you hear about the giants? Oh, we are well able. We can do this. We tend to like our heroes to have courage, enough courage to even muster whatever it takes to go against the odds. You know, who will be the hero of your life story? You know, God has chosen you to be the hero of your life. You're the only one that can do that. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is what you do in the face of fear. "Be of good courage," he said. "Be of good cheer. Keep a smile on your face. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, there are some giants. Yeah, the cities are big and the people are strong. And yeah, but listen, let us go at once. We are well able to overcome all of these obstacles." You are writing the story that your grandchildren will one day tell about you. Are you well able? Well, are you able? That'll be kind of your choice. Verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with Caleb said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Let me give you a word of prophecy. Don't be a stick in the mud. Thus saith the Lord. Don't be a stick in the mud. You see, God included everyone. He knew who would follow him and who wouldn't. He knew some of them were mad at him. He knew some of them were struggling. He knew some of them were, you know. God included everyone, but not everyone included God. God included everyone, but 10 of these 12 spies did not include God in their equation. We are not able. I have a feeling they were limiting we to them, while Caleb, we included God. He included God in his equation. We are well able. You know, I think Caleb and God could have gone up there themselves. In fact, 40 years later, Caleb is going to be standing at the base of a hill that we know today as Hebron. And that's where the giants lived. And Caleb is 80 years old at the time he stands there, 40 years after this story. And he says, I am just the same strength of body as I was 40 years ago when I stood here. I am well able. Give me this city. I will take it. Oh, man, what a man with an excellent spirit. So Joshua said, go get it. Boom. He went up and took care of those giants. Wow. You see, there is a group that is well able, and there's a group that's not able. And you decide which group you join. You get to decide. There's a promise of God over your life. There's been a promise of God over your life for generations. You get to decide whether you are well able or not able. You see, all God needs is your support. He just needs you to trust him and to believe him and to take the next step with him. The next step could be with family. The next step could be with finances. The next step could be on your job in relationships. The next step could be in church. Trusting him, letting go. Unfortunately, life demands that we fully let go of one thing before we can fully get hold of another. The next step might just be one decision away, and you might be sitting there entertaining the idea that you're not able. Oh, you're well able. God has included you. Have you included him? Which one of these will you embrace? In Numbers, God included them because he needed their support. Because many people around them were weak. Many people around them were on the fence. Many people around them would have gone either way. And that's the way most of the people are around you. Many of the people at your job, your workplace, that you visit with every day, many of those people could go either way. They need you. That's what God knew. God knew that they needed someone to influence them. And so he chose. He chose everyone, whether they liked him or not. He needed their support, but he didn't get it. Verse 32. This group of 10 men who were afraid and felt like that they couldn't make a difference. They couldn't do it. This was too hard. No, the people are too strong. They're too strong for us. It says, they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were, and so we were in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. We saw ourselves not able, and we know that's how they saw us. How do you see yourself? You see all the people that heard this were influenced. They could have gone either way. Joshua spoke up, but he was in a minority. The majority of the people said, "We're not able. We're grasshoppers. They will devour us." So guess what? The next chapter begins, verse 1. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night." Do you know that a whole generation, one more generation, died? They all died in the wilderness. And that was the last word they ever heard. The whole generation died believing a lie. Think about it. Generations die believing a lie because not enough of us will stand up and declare the truth. The truth is that God has made us a promise. He's promised us that He will never leave us, never forsake us, that He will guide us and guard us and protect us. He will be with us in our daytime journeys, and in our nighttime, He will watch over us and warm us. He has already given us promises, great and precious. Not only 600 years worth of promises, but all the way back to Abraham. Thousands of years of promises that the blessings of Abraham would come upon us if we would believe in the name of the Lord. Believe His word, and He needs us to believe Him. Today He needs us to believe Him because your word might be the last word that someone hears. These 10 spies gave the last word that whole generation ever followed. The last message of 2024, I conclude by encouraging you to take the next step. And by letting you know, number one, that God needs your support to accomplish His plans. Yes, you. Yes, you. You. God needs your support to accomplish His plans. You might be afraid today. You might even be angry. Maybe you're mad at God. Maybe you're mad at parents. Maybe you're mad at children. Maybe you're mad at leaders. Maybe you're mad at preacher. Maybe you're mad at president. Maybe you're mad in, maybe in, but what is it that's stopping you from trusting God and taking that next step? God needs your support to accomplish His plans. Number two, what you say makes a difference. What you say to yourself makes a difference. What you say to others might be the last word they hear. And what you say to God makes a difference. You see, because the children of Israel said they were not able, God backed up and said, "Okay, I'll wait another generation." And He did. What they said made a difference to God. Are you well able, or are you not able? And the last thing is that God includes everyone. The not everyone includes God. Today, if you're not right with God, He will still include you. He will do His best to reach out to you and help you and save your soul. And God loves you regardless of whether you love Him back or not. He loves you first. The Bible says this is why we love Him, because He first loved us. He loves you just like you are today, just like you are. He loves you. He included you on the cross. Have you included Him in your life? How much of your life? He included you in His blessings. Have you included Him in the blessings He has given you? I challenge you, if you have not been participating with God in getting His word out and meeting needs and feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and visiting the sick and those, if you have not, why not? Oh, I know why. You're not able. Not able, right? Yeah. Oh, no, we don't bring our tithes and offerings to the house of God. We're not able. Yeah, you're not. You better keep them. You'll never be able. But with God, you're well able. What you do impacts a world. God included you. Include Him. You can do this. You can mend that relationship. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Take that next step. Decide right now you're going to do it. Perhaps that next step is inviting Jesus into your life. Maybe you were raised in a place where that wasn't a personal thing. Maybe you were raised in a religion or a denomination to where there was not a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us that we need to personally invite Him into our life. You know, water baptism won't save you. Church membership won't save you. Jesus will save you. And if you will invite Him in, He's standing at the door knocking. And if you will simply, you know, and you are able, okay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I believe in you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Use me, teach me, guide me. Participate. Come to know Him and not just know about Him. Through a personal relationship with Him, it begins with what you say. What you say makes a difference. Well, this is my last message in 24. In 25, I'm going to be starting a discipleship program. Okay? Giving an opportunity for people to come and get their lives, you know, family and finances, relationships, and children, and you know, just it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful adventure. Okay, so decide you're going to take a next step.
Thanks again for joining us for another encouraging word from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.